Let's talk about the Xfinity race from Las Vegas. Me and the son here are going to try to get this done. Hopefully he doesn't interrupt us too much. Anyway, Kyle Busch the most points despite a exciting first stage where he ripped into his crew chief, and rightfully so. How do you not get the lug nuts on at the very beginning of the race? Shouldn't that be somebody's job? That, hey, before we roll this car out of the garage, let's just make sure all the lug nuts are on. Anyway, Kyle Busch being the genius race car driver that he is, rebounds. They make a good call with the wave around. Instead of pitting at the end of stage one, they luck out when Austin Cindric spins and hits the wall, and then from there it's over. Even on old tires, he runs down the field, passes everybody. Maybe he almost loses at the end, but hey, it's Kyle Busch. He didn't lose at the end. He won. Probably the greatest race car driver living. If we do want to throw some shade, we could say this. Hey, look, if you look at the new Xfinity field, and the Xfinity field is much different than years before. It is as watered down and weak as it has ever been. 25 of those cars are pretty terrible. The other 10 are just okay, rich kids. And then he really only has to beat maybe one or two cars. It's Kyle Busch versus Christopher Bell. Throw Tyler Reddick in there. Tyler Reddick is a good race car driver, but you really don't have to worry about Tyler Reddick because Tyler Reddick will wreck himself. He will beat himself. And then maybe, no, Cole Custer. Cole Custer cannot, he will never beat a cup driver. He does not have what it takes. You saw him fade and disappear. And I don't see Justin Allgaier beating a cup driver either. If he could beat cup drivers, then he would be running in cup. He can beat the 25 losers and beat Christopher Bell when he has a mistake, or he can beat Elliott Sadler because he's Elliott Sadler, and he can beat Tyler Reddick when he ruins himself. But those guys are really nothing for Kyle Busch to beat. Anyway, 50 hog points, 104 total points, no surprise. You're going to lock in Kyle Busch. You're going to lock in top-tier cup drivers and top-tier cars every single time. Now, the 8 car, that's a different story. But when I get a Stuart Haas top-tier driver in a top-tier car, when I get a JGR car in a top-tier car, then I'm going all in. But the reality is, we don't have a 42 car to bank on anymore. And it doesn't appear that the Penske 22 car is going to often go to one of those elite Penske drivers, but when it does, you better buckle up and take it. Austin Dillon finishes fourth. He was a chalky play. Everyone loved him. You locked him in, but he did finish a lot better than where he should have. He got a wave around on the last caution, and then another caution. He's able to get 4 fresh tires while everyone else has to stay out, and then another caution, which takes out all the competition, and he races into a 4th place finish, which was easy. He was more of a 10th place car. We really don't have to worry about this. Just make sure that you know which car Austin Dillon's in. He was in that second college car. He wasn't in an RCR car. Just keep your eye on that. Tyler Reddick, the 3rd best driver, and he was my 3rd guy on the list. So if when I ran the optimizer, with Austin Dillon and Kyle Busch, but I didn't feel completely comfortable going all in on Kyle Busch and Austin Dillon. So if I excluded Austin Dillon, Tyler Reddick was the guy that went in that lineup. And it would have been optimal, actually, if he wouldn't have wrecked at the end, but that's not a big would have. That's a pretty common. That's why I went with more Austin Dillon lineups than I did Tyler Reddick lineups, because Tyler Reddick does what Tyler Reddick does, and that's wrecks himself. And he wrecks a lot late in races. He's got good race cars. He's got good equipment because RCR is downsized and it's funding him for now until he wrecks more. Well, he wrecked 25 race cars last year. He wrecked 25 race cars last year. That's why he's no longer with Junior Motorsports. Good race car driver. He has the skill, but he's too aggressive and he's just stupid. And I cannot express that enough. If you're going to roster him, that's fine, but you have to know ahead of time that I'm rostering a stupid driver who can and will screw up. And all you have to do is look at the last laps yesterday. He threw it on the bottom line. You knew he didn't have the tires to make it stick. You knew physics and science said that this could not happen. The laws of nature said this car is going too fast in this groove. It is going to get loose and wreck. And the only thing going through my mind was, please God, when he gets loose, because I know he will, don't let him run into Kyle Busch. And he got loose. Thank God he missed Kyle Busch, but he nailed Christopher Bell. Everyone knew that. Anyone who has raced a car, anyone who's played a racing video game knows, you know, there's a certain edge. There is only so fast you can drive into a turn. And you would think the guy that won the championship last year knew, like, well, this is the limit. If I go over this, I'm going to wreck. But apparently not him, because he has wrecked so many times. Anyway, he still finishes with the 3rd most fantasy points. And he owes a lot of that, though, to Kyle Busch messing up in stage one. So Tyler Reddick wouldn't have been anywhere near the scoreboard if it wasn't for Kyle Busch's disastrous first stage. Greg Golding was the next guy the optimizer spit out, and he did a lot better than he should have, but he wasn't bad. Greg Golding in his second go-fast racing car raced well at Atlanta, and he raced well again. He avoids the wrecks and the carnage. He starts in the back because this is a secondary car that didn't really earn any points last year, so his finish of 12th was a little bit high, but his average running position of 18th was fine, and he would have still been satisfying chalk. Chase Briscoe, another safe play. We basically got round two Chase Briscoe starting in the back. We knew he would move forward. This time, he just didn't wreck at the end, and that's actually, it's more impressive this week because everyone wrecked at the end. He looked fine, but he wasn't, you know, this is not a good race car. If he is not starting in the back, I am not interested in Chase Briscoe, and which is crazy because he has basically a Stuart Haas racing car and a Stuart Haas racing team. But the car just did not look good. He does not look good in the car. He does not look comfortable in the car. He was running around 10th the entire day. He's up there with I wanted to say he's with there, Brandon Jones, but Brandon Jones is running much better than Briscoe. And maybe you could say, well, that 98 car wasn't on the track every single weekend. Okay, that might be part of it, but still, you should be able to compete a little bit better. Anyway, it's a good fantasy day. John Hunter Nemechek was pretty fast in his GMS car, and he looked good. It's because he survived at the end and everybody wrecked, but not really. John Hunter Nemechek has a lot of Tyler Reddick in him as well. He's just very aggressive, very hard running at the beginning of a stay or at the beginning of a run, and that's basically what we got last week was a bunch of short runs, so definitely played into his style. And the GMS car, typically it's what, 10th place car to 15th place car? Well, then if you wipe out five of the cars in the top 10, of course he's going to finish around fifth, but he's not a guy that I'm going to really want to roster moving forward unless I can get place differential points. He's not going to lead. The race he won last year, remember, he was in that 42 car. Michael Annette. We've got to start thinking about Annette more. Possibly winning that Daytona race, secured some funding or secured some sponsorship. I mean, they're locked into the playoffs. Maybe Junior Motorsports has decided, okay, we're going to devote some investment dollars to it. But it's another solid week for him. 8th place average running position. I know some people had some mistakes here and there, but still, Michael Annette is racing better than last year. But really what we see here, we have to make note. I always talk about the 5-cup bump, where we don't have these cup drivers, so you can bump them up 5 spots. Well, there's more to it than that. Not only did we remove the cup drivers, but we removed an RCR car. We basically have a junior motorsports car. There's even more of a bump than that. Maybe it's 7 spots that everyone is moving out. I mean, you don't have the 42 car. We don't have our second RCR car. We don't have a second Penske car, and I know that's part of the cup bump. We don't have the elite Stuart Haas racing car. I think the Junior Motorsports had 4 regular drivers last year. Now they have 3 and the all-star ride, which doesn't seem to be much of an all-star ride anyway, because we're not putting all-stars in. He had Zane Smith in it. Not an all-star. He's a young ARCA kid. Anyway, you have to reset your brain thinking that Michael Annette is a 15th to 20th driver. He is now a 10th place driver. And the quicker you reset your understanding of where these guys rank, it's going to help you out. Same thing with Ryan Sieg. Ryan Sieg and Michael Annette are right there next to each other. So as we mentioned last week, Ryan Sieg's got Shane Wilson as his crew chief. I also think I heard during the broadcast that the RCR equipment, they sold equipment to Ryan Sieg's team. Ross Chastain, another solid finish. Ran 15th place, you know, not the greatest race for him. We'd like to see him do a little bit better, but he survives. He's very smart. So if Tyler Reddick is aggressive and stupid, then Ross Chastain is brilliant, a genius, a savant when it comes to saving your equipment and just knowing when to push it and when to be conservative. He gets so much out of that 4 car. And if you noticed, he had a sponsorship. It wasn't like Flex Seal. It wasn't JD Motorsports. He's getting real sponsorship. And as more sponsorship dollars come into Ross's team, he's going to have faster race cars. But he's expensive. Cole Custer finishes with the 10th most fantasy points. Cole Custer defaults into a bunch of points in the first round because Kyle Busch wrecks. Because Kyle Busch has a loose wheel, and Cole Custer gets the first set of fast laps and hog lap points, and then he gets in the crowd, and then he disappears for the entire race. That is until he almost tries to kill Brandon Jones, which is pretty remarkable considering, like, here's another thing about these races is that these race cars are so safe that these drivers are, especially these rich kids, are morons. They think they're invincible. They will do anything in these race cars because you can't die in them anymore. And so Brandon Jones and Cole Custer are making moves that you really shouldn't make. And Cole Custer sends the guy and it feels no remorse whatsoever for what Cole Custer did. Now, I know you can say, well, it's Brandon Jones' fault for blocking, or you can say it's Cole Custer's fault for riding right through him. Either way, you send him into the wall at nearly 180 miles per hour. That should kill somebody. That should make you say, I shouldn't have done that. I feel bad. No. Rich Kid Custer doesn't care. Rich Kid Jones doesn't care. These guys are racing like lunatics. They feel like they're invincible. Part of the unintended consequences of the Hans device and the safety is that these people can drive like idiots. And if everybody's driving like idiots, that means they're tearing up race cars. And if you're tearing up race cars every week, then the only people that can afford to race are Cole Custer, Brandon Jones. Who's the guy who's the kid of the Zaxby's franchise? John West Townley? All these guys. Paul Menards. You have to be rich to be able to run in this league, because if you want to run this league, you have to be prepared to try to kill people or not be killed. It's pretty, pretty crazy. Never lost for Cole Custer. Even on the pole. You just can't do that. This guy just never gets it done. Never gets it done. We look and see number 11, Christopher Bell, was 22 fast lap points and barely led a lap. That tells you all you need to know about Christopher Bell. He's very fast. 22 fast lap points and barely led a lap. Ray Black Jr. finishes with the 12th most fantasy points. Another guy who got pretty much locked in on the optimizer. I had plenty. Now, some people probably been worried, like, oh, you're going to roster him at 20th. That's rough. That's scary. Or wherever. Where is he starting at? He was starting in 20th. But remember, the no cup bump. These guys are going to move up through the field. And again, Ray Black is the second car on Go Fast Ray. No, Ray Black is now with... yeah, he's Go Fast Racing. It's him and Greg Alding. The cars look good. Ray Black looks good. Ray Black is in a legitimate ride. I have no problem. I have no problem when you look at the rest of the guys in that price range that you had to roster. He wasn't as obvious as Greg Alding, but no Gregson. He's terrible. What do we need to, and he got a good finish, and I saw a couple of tweets like, look at no Gregson. Look at the Las Vegas native. Good job for him. What are we talking about? Noah Gregson was terrible. And not only was he terrible on the race, his team was terrible on pit road. They just got bailed out because everyone wrecked at the end. And that's fine. If people want to believe that he's good, cool. Roster him at Phoenix. Have fun with that. Now, maybe he'll show up and race well there. That's fine. But what we've seen so far from Noah Gregson is Junior Motorsports not looking good in that car. And he's not looking good in that car. Justin Haley was very fast. I think he got caught up in that wreck there at the end. I can't remember for sure, but there were several times where he was up there running pretty swiftly, and I was kind of surprised. We didn't see kind of that stable speed from Colleg Motorsports last year from Ryan Truex. He would have maybe some good qualifying speed, but rarely during a race. And then we would see, same thing for Blake Koch. It was a 10th place car, but there were times during that race where I felt like he was a top five driver. All right, well, let me clean up some spit up right here real quick. Clearly, Donovan is not a fan of Justin Haley. And mentioning that Justin Haley is a top five driver just made him sick. All right, I'm sorry. David Starr with the typical David Starr performance. Even though he finishes low, look, a good day for David Starr last year was finishing 25th. Well, he finishes 19th. That sounds interesting. It's about 6 spots better than his really good days last year. Oh, yeah, I wonder if it has anything to do with the no-cup bump. But it also has to do with people completely wrecking out. BJ McLeod, again, last year, a typical finish. And I probably have to adjust this in my phony projections. Like, they're not real mathematical projections. They're just gut projections. That's why I don't do touting. I don't do projections. But for my own sake, I'm trying to go through and see, well, who, because I got to put some sort of number in if I want to run an optimizer. So I just go with my gut. My gut usually tells me BJ McLeod
his ceiling's 24th place. Well, this year, that ceiling probably should move up to 20th place. That's where he finished. Jeremy Clements finished 15th. That's about where he was on a good day last year. He may have hit his ceiling, and I don't know if he can get any better, unfortunately. His price is going to have to come down. It's Garrett Smithley. He's killing my nickname. It was Garrett 25thly. Well, with all these cup drivers not running in the division and teams shutting down and downsizing, now he is an 18th to 20th place driver, and the nickname doesn't work anymore. Good for him. Timmy Hill. So, I thought Timmy Hill was a starting Parker. And I noticed, well, he didn't start and park at Atlanta. He didn't have sponsorship all week. But then if you check the entry list page on the spreadsheet, you would have noticed that all of a sudden he was sponsored by Manhattan something or other. It was a whiskey distiller. He now had a sponsor, which told me he's going to run this race. If all of a sudden one of the Carl Long teams finds a sponsorship, they have money, they're going to go out there and try to display the sponsorship. That's exactly what he did. He ran the race and he finished 23rd. And he was my absolute lock punt, which is crazy. But I thought worst case scenario, and I talked about this on the spreadsheet with some of the people in the chat. There isn't really a chat, but usually there's people saying, hey, I can't get this page to work. Can you fix it for me? I send it in. Like, okay, I'll look at it. But I said that Timmy Hill, worst case scenario, he's the last car to park. And if he's the last car to park at 28th place, it works. It absolutely helps you get Kyle Busch in your lineup. And he ends up finishing 23rd. Josh Williams finishes 16th. The Alex LeBay cars look good. That's Josh Williams' best finish ever. The Mario Gosselin cars. If the Mario Gosselin cars, if they avoid a wreck. Now, there was a couple races last year where they would get into wrecks. But if they avoid a wreck, all they've got to do is go out there and run laps. The cars are strong enough. We've taken out the cup drivers. We've taken out some of the teams that downsized. They can get around 16th to 20th place, whereas last year they were both 20th to 25th in both cars. Mike Harmon, can you believe it? Finishes with the 21st most fantasy points. Interesting. Brandon Brown, a bit of a disappointment, but again, his average running position was 18th. He finishes 17th. That's fine. That's where Brandon Brown should be. Problem is, without qualifying, he has to keep starting up near the front. That really hurts him. Just because his fantasy potential didn't work out last week, don't let that affect you moving forward. Remember, this race car is a decent car. It's right on the level of the Mario Gosselin cars. It's right on the level of Go Fast Racing cars. It's a small one team funded team, but that's who he's competing with. And he can get 18th, or Jeremy Clements put him in there too. That's where they are. But right now, you just can't play him if we don't get qualifying again. Stephen Light went out there, turned the laps, finished 27th, no problem. Remember, he's in JD Motorsports. He's going out there and he's running most of the laps. Don't mind him at all as a punt. Avila was in the second BJ Motorsports car. Who cares? Morgan Shepherd, don't care. Matt Mills, don't care. Stan Mullis, don't care. Evany Miller, don't care. Jeff Green, don't care. These are all starting Parkers, non-finishers. Every single one of those guys. Austin Cindric ran in 10th place the entire race. Wrecks at the end. Don't ever roster Austin Cindric. Chad Fincham, you can't play him because he has to start up towards the front. Average running position of 25th. That's where Chad Fincham is. He's a 25th place race car, but he cannot start second again. It's because of that stupid 42 car that he inherited. Josh Balicki, Park City, Zane Smith, the number 8 car, has not shown us anything for Junior Motorsports. His average running position was 12th. That's disappointing, and he wrecked at the end. Joey Gase wrecks on the first lap, and he was one of the punts that I put in some of my lineups. Tough luck. He was starting at the end. All he's got to do is turn laps, he'll be fine, and he just freaking plowed right into Teach, or however you say the Canadian's name. Brandon Jones looked pretty good. Average rank position of 6th. I know we like to throw shade at Brandon Jones, and he is the quintessential silver spoon, son of the Ream Empire. Basically, he's funding all the JGR cars. That's the way. Like, all right, we'll put Joe. RCR used to put up with him. Like, all right, we don't want your money anymore. Take your blood money elsewhere. Well, Joe Gibbs is like, all right, if we're going to take this blood money, then not only are you paying for his car, but you're paying for 2 or 3 of our other cars. And so you'll notice Christopher Bell is in the Ream car as well. So, but that being said, Jones has looked okay this year. Sixth average running position. The problem, well, it's not the problem. It's just, look, we took the cup. The Xfinity, it's watered down. There's not a lot of competition. And if you look at it, you say, well, Junior Motorsports doesn't look that good. RCR just has one car. There isn't Chip Ganassi Racing. SHR, this is their first full-time real endeavor here outside of Cole Custer. And Cole Custer is, I mean, they keep selling the story. Cole Custer's crew chief last year was really good at the intermediate tracks. And then this week is, Cole Custer's crew chief last week won at both of the Las Vegas races. Yeah, because Kyle Larson was driving, and then because Ross Chastain was driving. Ross Chastain's a better driver than Cole Custer. Deal with it. Don't at me. Okay, he's not vomiting for that hot take. But anyway, Brandon Jones, JGR. I'm just going to take the JGR cars in this situation. They're good cars. And he's got a good crew, so he should be fine for the most part. Bailey Curry, I think he just parked. Teague got T-boned. And then Justin Allgaier had a mechanical issue. It's going to happen occasionally. There it is. There's your Xfinity wrap-up. What did I learn? Play the Cup drivers. Play Christopher Bell. If you can stomach it, what do you say, Donovan? I'm going to test this on you. Play Tyler Reddick. All right, okay. I guess you can stomach that. And then just try to find the right value, guys. A lot of those guys are in that 15 to 25 range, and you're going to look for place differential. I don't want to say the sport's changed, but the names definitely have. Everyone is a little bit better because it's just not as competitive as a circuit. That could change if we get a lot of guys drop down. But I'm not really counting on it. We'll see who's down in Phoenix. We'll have to wait and see.